Good to see this number that's here today. Visitors and people that are our regulars. I'm kind of at a loss of words. Can you imagine that? But I am so thankful that you are here. And I'm thankful for each and every one who have found it in their hearts and in their busy schedules to come and to be with us in services, worship the Lord together, endeavoring in spirit and in truth. Thankful that Peyton came and read the scriptures that he did. I was really moved, and sometimes I almost feel like gospel has been preached. And I'm so thankful to have my granddaughter with me, and seeing her sing in the choir just really does my heart a lot of good. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord in the free pardon of sin, we pray that something might be said or done in this service today that would cause you to think for time and eternity about where you will spend eternity. We pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you today what you need to do to be saved. I find that there was a Philippian jailer whom had incarcerated Paul and Silas. And as they sang songs in the night and they began to testify, there was a great earthquake. I believe it was the power of God that shook the establishment and shook that place. But you know, as they began to sing, it began to have its effect upon a person who was the jailer. And the scripture says today that he sprang in after that all this had taken place, and he had just one question upon his heart: "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And you know, we've encountered situations like that where that in a good service or wherever that it was at in revival, somebody would come to us and grab us and say, "I don't know. I don't know that I'm saved, that I'm ready to go." I said, "What do I need to do?" And you know, I just follow the pattern of the New Testament. And I tell them, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And I pray today, if you're here, you do not know him, that before this service would end, that either make your way to an altar of prayer or pray wherever that you're at. The main thing is today that you know, that you know that you've been saved. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us to the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to begin our reading lesson in the 11th verse. This, of course, written by the writer Luke. He was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. We find that he made his way from down to Troas, where Paul was at, recorded in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke. And there he was with Paul as a companion and also as a writer of all the things that happened on Paul's missionary journey. In addition to that, he had put together and it had come together all the things that Christ did, all the miracles that he performed. And we find that the emphasis that he made was for the most part about the prayers. 11 prayers out of 15 recorded in the Gospels are recorded in the book of Luke. Also, we find that he records, or he wrote down how that Jesus went among all kinds of people. Did not matter what their background was. Didn't matter where that they came from. He went unto, in this instance, lepers, unto prostitutes, unto beggars, unto all kinds of people. It did not matter to Christ what their position was in society. What he was concerned about was their position before God and that they would be saved. So we want to begin our reading lesson then with the 11th verse, 17th chapter of the book of Luke's gospel. We invite you to read along with us. And it came to pass that as he went to Jerusalem, now notice he was on his way to Jerusalem, and this was going to be the last time that he would pass through this region. Last time that he would pass through Jerusalem. But we find that he came and he passed through the midst of Samaria and also of Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted their voices and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon me." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go and show yourself unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, that is, the feet of Jesus. And he gave him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, in the sight of the Jews, that was worse than a leper, because the Jews and the Samaritans did not like each other. They were kind of enemies, so to speak. But this man was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." If correctly read, this is the 11th through the 19th verses of the 17th chapter of the book of Luke. Our text and our thought will come from a question, actually two questions, that Jesus asked in the 17th verse. He said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Did I not cleanse 10 lepers? Where are the other 9? And that would be our thought today. Where are the other 9 that were also cleansed, as was this one that returned to give thanks unto him? I believe that it's important, very important, to give thanks unto God for all things. You know, we would be given probably from now into eternity to try to think of and to try to remember and to thank God and thank our Savior, Jesus Christ, for all that he has done. All the way from the greatest work, the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is whenever that somebody gets saved and they have that assurance within their heart that they are a child of God, and that sometime heaven will be their home. We thank God for the health, the ability. There are times whenever that I walk up and I may stumble a couple of times whenever that I get up to the pulpit, but I'm thankful that I'm able to stumble. And I'm thankful that I'm able to walk. I'm thankful that I'm able to speak, to hear, to see, to be able to use my hands, because there are those that are not so fortunate. And there are times whenever that I'm reminded of how blessed and how that I'm very fortunate. Now, I don't know if you'd call it fortunate, but very, very much blessed that I have things going for me as well as what they are. And there are times whenever that I don't look beyond that as far as ambition goes. I look at what God has done for me, and I'm very, very thankful. And I think that we should also be thankful when it comes down to what God has done for each and every one of us. Today, if you're here and lost, he could do the same thing for you that he has done for us that have been saved. There's no limiting him today. But we find that in that day and in that time, There was a malady that was far worse, far more devastating than what we think of COVID. Now, COVID's bad enough as it is, and all the other diseases. But you know, there was another disease in that day and in that time that they did not have the capability of curing. We're very fortunate that we have medical science in this day. They are still working on problems with the human body, diseases that still haven't been cured yet. But in this day and time, leprosy was a very devastating disease. It was the type of disease that recorded in the 13th and 14th chapters of the book of Leviticus. Specific instructions were given to them. If anyone had the symptoms of leprosy, they didn't go to the clinic, they didn't go to the hospital, and they didn't go down to the pharmacy to ask if we had something that could help their leprosy. You see, with leprosy in that day and time, there was no cure for it whatsoever. And the only cure and the only way that they treated it was that if they were diagnosed by the high priest, who looked upon the scabs and looked upon the places and their hands, their feet, their face, and they determined that it was the devastating type of leprosy, they were forced to go and live outside of the gate of wherever they were encamped at, outside of a city. They were referred to as leper colonies. And they lived out their days there. They would bring food to them, and someone will say today, well, you know, why would they try to feed them? They're too far gone. Well, that was to keep them from wandering off from where that they were at into the city and causing some very, very grim consequences to those who came in contact with them. But that's how that it was in that day, in the day of Moses, and on into the days of Christ, probably outside of Jerusalem. There were those that were congregated together, and they lived out their life until that perhaps they might recover from it, or that they would die. It was just, that's just the way that it was in that day and in that time. Jesus was going through Samaria and through Galilee. Now, if you know the history of Samaria and Galilee, you know that the Jews did not get along with the Samaritans. The Jews thought the Samaritans were half-breed, so to speak, half-breed Jews, and the Samaritans thought that the Jews weren't righteous enough. And so there was an antagonism there. In fact, we find in history where that when someone went through Samaria, like a priest or a rabbi or whatever, that he would go all the way around Samaria. He would not even touch the soil. That's how that the hatred was towards them in that day. But we find that like the fourth chapter of the book of John, and in the ninth verse, where the Jesus, it says Jesus must needs go through Samaria. And there he encountered the woman at the well, and he cleansed her soul and saved her. We find that on this occasion, he had another reason why to go through Samaria. He was on his way to Jerusalem. But instead of bypassing Samaria, he went all the way through it. And it came into what it says as a certain city. Now, they don't name it necessarily. They don't give an idea of where that it might have been as far as like the name of the city is concerned. But we find that Jesus must needs go through that area as he goes through it the last time. While he is there, and no one knows really in some of the things that we've read, whether that he came close to a leper colony, or whether that these 10 kind of escaped and kind of came out, heard that Jesus was coming, we find that as he went through, he encountered, the Bible says, 10 lepers, 10 of them, all together, all afflicted with the same thing. All had been cast out and rejected. And you know, there was a pecking order in that day and in that time. There were lepers. There were the sinners. There were the, the publicans, the tax collectors. Now, I didn't mean to insult any Republicans here, but the publicans were looked down upon. The harlots or the prostitutes, the beggars, the sick, the afflicted, those that had all kinds of infirmities, they were the lowest, if you will, dregs of society. But this is who Jesus came for. This is who Jesus came to seek and to save today. And as they came to where that he was at, they cried out. And I believe today that the world is crying out. You may look at what's going on in our world, and you may think to yourself, well, people really don't want Jesus, don't want to hear anything about him, don't want to hear the message of salvation. But that's what is coming from deep down inside. They know that there's something wrong with their soul. They know that they're separated, in a sense, from God. But they go about doing this and that and filling their minds with the philosophies and the ideas of the world, trying to satisfy that longing that's down there. And it's a longing they can't explain. They don't know why that they feel that way. And I want to tell you something. Jesus said in one place, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The dissatisfaction that the world has today, the disease of sin, if you will, that plagues them, that affects them, that, my friend, is what they need help with, and they need to be cleansed from and need to find that in Christ Jesus, he is altogether a savior of mankind, no matter who they are, where they come from, what their background is. And you know, even those that say that they don't believe in God, they need God. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer. And you might say, well, preacher, that sounds pretty simplistic. And that's easy for you to say. You were brought up in this. No. No, I was brought up in it, but that didn't give me a ticket into heaven. And that didn't give me the peace that I needed as a 17-year-old boy. My friend, it took the same Savior. It took the same Jesus. It took the same Christ as these lepers encountered. And they cried out whenever that they saw him. Just like the world cries out, we've got this problem in our heart. We cannot figure it out. We don't know why that we feel this way. And we find no satisfaction whatsoever. We've tried this and we tried that, and we're still dissatisfied, and we're still in the dark. They cried out. They knew exactly what was wrong with them. They were lepers. Do you know, today, my friend, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are afflicted with the disease of sin. We're afflicted with this malady. And do you know what the Bible says about sin? And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Not a natural death, but an eternal, everlasting death, separated from God in hell. But they cried out unto him in the 13th verse, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. Does that sound familiar? In the 18th chapter and the 19th chapter, Jesus gives a parable of two that went up to pray unto God. One was a Pharisee. The other one, my friend, was a publican. And we find that the Pharisee prayed before God and said, oh God, I'm so thankful that I'm not like other men. And ladies, you have to excuse me, but this was the truth. They would pray, oh, I'm thankful, oh God, I'm not a woman. I'm thankful today, oh God, I tithe, I do this, I do that. I thank God I'm not like this publican over here who shouldn't even be in here with me. I hope you never pray a prayer like that. I hope and pray that all people never get to that point. Because I want to tell you, when the publican prayed, all he could do was smite himself and say, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. That was his prayer. And do you know what Jesus said about that man? He said that man went down to his house, declared just before God. Because he knew that he needed God. And he knew that he had no righteousness about him whatsoever. But he knew that God could change all of that. And God can change all of that today. Just as he can still change people today. We find that they cried out unto him, Master, have mercy upon us. Have mercy. You may not be able to pray a great prayer. You may not be able to say all the theological words. That doesn't matter. If you just utter a prayer that says, God, please, Lord, help me. Help me. That'll get to the throne of grace a lot quicker than, Lord, I believe in the triune Godhead, and I believe this, and I believe that. Whenever that you believe upon God, I want to tell you, that's what God looks for. That's what God wants. That's what God desires from people today, is that they acknowledge their need of Him, but yet they come to Him in that way that is right and acceptable in His sight. Just like these lepers. And as they came, they said, Master, have mercy upon us. That's all they could say. But Jesus turned unto him. And I want you to know today that as he turned unto them, he said, go and show yourself unto the priest. That's all he said to him. He didn't even touch him. It wasn't that he didn't want to touch him. It was that Jesus has all power. Jesus can heal from a distance. Jesus can save from a distance. There is nothing that the Lord cannot do. Amen? There is nothing today that cannot be accomplished through Him. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And this may sound biased. Maybe that it is, but He's the only way unto heaven. And so he spoke that and he said, you go and you show yourself unto the priest. And you know, as they went, they were instantly healed. Can you imagine that? 1 minute having your limbs fall off or having your central nervous system damaged by the disease of leprosy. And then all of a sudden, you're healed. That's how instantaneous that even salvation is. There's not a long drawn out process in order to be saved today. And I want you to know, it doesn't take a ritual. All it is faith in Him who paid the price upon the cross of Calvary and overcame death, hell, and the grave. And as they went their way, there are 9. We don't know where they went to. But we do know that the Bible tells us that there was one that came back. And it always emphasizes this. He was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. I guess it was a lesson to the Jews and a lesson to us today that God can deal and save and heal anyone. It doesn't matter if they're Samaritan, Jew, or if they're from Timbuktu. Didn't know I could make a rhyme, did you? In Luke 17, it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. Glory be unto God who has not changed in his love towards mankind. Glory be unto God that he's still able to cure. And you might say today, well, you don't mention cures very often, but he is curing today. I believe in divine healing from God. It comes from God only. It doesn't come from my hands, but it comes from God. And I want you to realize today, only He has the power. What is the bridge towards that? It's faith in Him and in him alone. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he cried with a loud voice as he was turned back, and he glorified God, and he fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus. And what did he do? He gave thanks unto him. And then Luke adds this, and he was a Samaritan. I guess Luke was kind of surprised at that or something. But at any rate, we find that he gave thanks for what Jesus had done for him. Do you know today that thanksgiving is a type of worship unto God? Whenever that we pray, thank you, dear Lord. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you that, as the two sisters sang, that I've got shoes upon my feet, a roof over my head. That's far more than many people have. Thank you, dear Lord. I don't deserve it, but thank you for blessing me, and bless others also, Lord. It's very important that we remember and we recognize God's working, not only in the soul, not only in life, but even in the lives of people that we know. You know, it used to be I would just kind of take things for granted. I'd hear about somebody overcoming a sickness, or somebody that was, shall we say, healed, or somebody that was sick and they recovered. And you know, it would go in with me in one ear and out the other. But over time, I have learned to thank God for what He does for other people. Because it tells me today that God is still on the throne. That God is still able not only to save a lost soul, but He's able to restore people under their wanted health. He's able to effect a cure for them. And you might say, well, what about the doctors? Well, who gave them the ability? Who gave them the knowledge? Who gave them the wisdom? Who gave them the information that they need? It all comes from God. Every cure, every restoration ultimately comes from God. He is the reason, He is the cause behind the effect, if you will. Whatever happened to those nine? We're not told in the Scripture. We're not told where they went to. I would imagine that one of the first places they went probably was into the city itself or the village itself. Or perhaps they thought, well, no, he healed me. I'm just going to go on my way. But you know, there might have been some cultural reasons. Maybe there was still that stigma about Jew versus Samaritan. Maybe there was some apprehension. Maybe that there was some doubt. Did this really come from him? Did he really do this? And I want to tell you, doubt is one of the worst things that can set into a person's mind. You might doubt the government, or you might doubt this, you might doubt that. But please, my friend, don't ever doubt God. Because, my friend, it all comes from Him. Do we ever forget to thank Jesus for what He's done? I have, and I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I will forget from time to time how blessed that I am. I'm thankful for my family. I'm very thankful for them. I'm thankful for your family. I'm thankful whenever I hear news about them. And as I was speaking to someone just a little bit earlier on, I'm so glad whenever that I hear that they're doing well. And I ask God to bring people to my mind and to my feeble intellect. People that are here in this congregation, I'll ask God, please put them upon my mind when I need to pray for them. Please put them upon my mind. Whatever is going on with them, whatever is happening to them, you place them in my mind for a reason. And wherever I'm at, I'll try to pray for them and ask God to please bless them and please look down upon them. Is there a danger in forgetting God and not thanking God? Yes, there is. Ingratitude is one of the worst things that can afflict a person towards those that have benefited them. David said over in one place, how sharper than a serpent's tooth is an ungrateful child. And I'm sure children are not ungrateful, but he was trying to make a point how sharp that it is whenever that we as children are ungrateful unto God, not thanking him. And I'm not picking upon you as a congregation today, but I want you to know that out of it and out of ingratitude comes a seed of spiritual pride. Well, I got this because, you know, I'm one of his. And, you know, we are what we are by the grace of God. We are what we are by his mercies. Thy mercies are forever and ever, the Bible says. But sometimes I get a little bit pride and I say, wow, you know what? I really did preach a wow sermon. Man, my name will go down, you know, with all the other theologians. And oh, boy. And I want to tell you, oh, Lord, don't let me think that. Don't let that sink in with me. Because I want you to know that the Bible says that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. And when we think that we're relying upon nobody else but ourselves, that's a very dangerous position to be in today. And I pray that you never experience the things that come out of that. I have. Now I can tell you that I would rather take a whipping from my wife than to take a whipping from my Lord. Because he can really lay the stripes on. Someone say, well, I thought you said he was so good. If he disciplines me, it's because he loves me today. If he disciplines you, it's because he loves you today. And Philippians tells us over one place, he said, do all things without murmuring and pride. And he said, disputings, that you may be the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights unto the world. The other thing that happens is you can lose a relationship, a close relationship with God. That is so very important. Is for us to have that relationship with God and maintain that. I like that song that said, he walks with me, he talks with me, he tells me that I am his own. And the joy that we share, we carry there, none other has ever known. What was it that saved and restored the Samaritan? For all of them, it was the faith that they put in him. The Bible says in one place, we must function in service unto God and in our spiritual life by faith. Now, it's not the faith that we have that when we stand upon something solid like this stand here and we have faith that wood's going to hold us up. That goes beyond that. We have faith towards God that he will guide us and direct us in whatever comes our way. If we're afflicted with leprosy, if we're afflicted with COVID, or whatever the case might be, that somehow God will take care of the situation. The Bible tells us in one place, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those that are diligently seeking him. It also says about faith that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Faith, my friend, today is active whenever that it's placed in God, whenever that you walk with him, when you put your faith in him today. And to the lost, that you may have lost friends out there in the world, tell them today that they need the Lord and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you need to say to them, and God will take care of the rest. He affirmed, Jesus did, that it was the faith that made them whole. He said unto this Samaritan, he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Why did it make him whole? Because it was how that faith was exercised. He didn't exercise it in the physicians, in the priest, in just randomness that maybe I'll get healed. But when you exercise your faith in Christ Jesus, things will happen. Things will happen. God still hears and answers prayer. Did you know that today? He's not changed. He's not sitting up in a throne someplace just picking his fingernails and, you know, the world will go the way it's supposed to go. But my friend, he is still on the throne. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Have thanksgiving each and every day. Oh, that's a lot of turkey to cook. No, I'm talking about thanksgiving from the heart. Thank the Lord each and every day. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. We find shared testimonies of what God has done and what He continues to do. The Bible says over in one place in Revelation 12, it says that they overcame Him through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Speak off to one another. Encourage one another. Tell them how thankful that you are for them, but you're also thankful for God. So as we close our few remarks today, where did the nine go? Not sure. That might be irrelevant at this point, but I would say this to you. Don't be like the nine. Be like the one that came back and thanked the Lord for what He has done. And you might say, well, it's Thanksgiving. We expect you to say things like that. But no, take it to heart. When you sit down before whatever type of meal that you're going to have, or maybe you're not going to have a meal, or maybe you have to work on Thanksgiving. I don't know. But still, be thankful unto God. The Bible says over in the 100th Psalm says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name. Paul said, I've learned whatsoever state I am in therewith to be content and give glory and honor unto God. What an example. What an example today. So as we close, I hope and I pray for each and every one of you that you have a very, very good Thanksgiving. A Thanksgiving where your heart is filled with gratitude, not towards this or that, but gratitude towards God. So as we have a song, and as we have a hymn, I want to say today that I'm truly thankful for each and every one that is here today. May God bless your homes. May God bless your families. May God bless your neighbors, your friends, your acquaintances. May God bless all of them today. And no matter what kind of condition that they might be in, that you might be in today, just remember this. God has not changed. And His feelings towards you has not changed. And His love for you is everlasting unto everlasting. It will never falter. It will never fail. He won't turn His back on you. He won't take the blessings away from you. But He shall do all for you. And just give Him honor and glory today.